Answer, you shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not with doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So today we continue to look at the doctrine of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. And I mentioned that last week we had opportunity to talk about privileges of the Lord's Day, privileges on the Christian Sabbath. Sometimes we think of these in terms of duties or things that we have to do on the Sabbath day, and yet the Word of God puts these things forward as privileges for us. And as there are privileges, we have to see also within the Word of God that there are certain boundaries. Privileges come with boundaries as well. And we see some of those boundaries within the Word of God. Even from Isaiah 58, which we have read, going back to the second part of verse 9 and into verse 10, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, and then extending your soul to the hungry, satisfying the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in darkness. So there's these things that the Lord puts forward relating to the doctrine of the Sabbath, and he says, here are certain boundaries as you think about what it means to delight in the Lord in the midst of these things, and to have this great privilege of being in worship and having fellowship and enjoying the company of the saints and being merciful and all of these ways. God says there's certain boundaries to that. And I want to think about those boundaries with you. Here he talks about that we are to stop pointing the finger. Here's the reason why my Sabbath has gone this way, or ceasing from speaking wickedness. And he says to extend yourself in the midst of those boundaries. Now, as we think about the Sabbath in the law in Exodus chapter 20, there very famously we know that there are boundaries that are set up. That commandment begins in Exodus 20 verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we said, privilege, great privilege in the midst of that. 6 days shall you labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And thou start setting boundaries. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So when we talk about the Lord's Day and we talk about the doctrine of the Sabbath or the Christian Sabbath, we often talk in terms of ourselves. We talk in terms of what we get from the Sabbath or what we are doing on the Sabbath day. And you can think about that. Think through your Sabbath day and the way that you speak about it, either internally or to others in the church or to other friends. And you will talk about things like how you went to church and how you heard this sermon and you went back in the evening and you enjoyed fellowship with this group of people, and you were able to rest, and you were able to do all of these things. And very much when we think about the Sabbath and the way that it works out practically in our keeping, is that it's very much focused on what we do to protect our rest. But when we look at the Word of God, and we look at either in Exodus or in Deuteronomy or in Isaiah or in other places where the doctrine of the Sabbath is put forward, the idea of it being something focused on me and my spiritual growth, that's there. But the Sabbath is also something that we are free to give away to others. We have the privilege of helping others to keep the Sabbath day as well. The reason that there's these boundaries, the reason we don't have our servants work, and the reason that we cease from our children working, and the reason that we cease from our animals working, that's so that all of these things, all of those around us in our sphere of influence, all around us, as we keep the Sabbath, God says, set up these boundaries and give away the Sabbath keeping to those around you as well. Help them to keep the Sabbath. Help them to know of the joys of this thing. When we look at this and we think about these boundaries and how we have this great gift of Sabbathing to provide to others in around us, we're reminded of the words of Jesus where he does tell us that the Sabbath is made for man. This is not something that is necessarily to stifle us. It's something that we are free to give away. And in the midst of that, there are boundaries. Our catechism talks about some of this when it says that the sins forbidden in the fourth commandment are all omissions of the duties required, careless, negligent, and unprofitable performing of them and being weary of them, profaning the day by idleness and doing that which is sinful by itself, and by needless work, words, and thoughts about our worldly employment and recreation. So when we think about these boundaries, the first boundary that is put up in our theology is the boundary of the omission of duties required. There are things that we are required to do, and when we omit those things, the Lord calls us to keep them. We talked about the positive commands, and we talked about 6 days of worship and 1 day of rest, and how in that 1 day of rest we have opportunity for worship and mercy and fellowship, and we are able to look forward to our eternal Sabbath in the midst of these things. And in all of this, all of these things that the Lord requires of us, these boundaries are set up so that we would not neglect these duties, that we would not neglect the keeping of these things. Now, we think there's several reasons why one could skip out on public worship or Sabbath rest. But the Word of God would call us, as Isaiah 58 does, to examine ourselves. Isaiah warns against the finger pointing and saying, this is the reason. These people are the reason. And God calls us to look on ourselves and to have these boundaries in place and to say, I am free to do all of these wonderful things. I am free to worship and fellowship and to have mercy and to perform these duties as a Christian unto the glory of God. Friends, I would encourage you to think even about your boundaries, the negative aspect of keeping the Sabbath. Think about those as something that helps you set the standards so that you may flourish in the midst of Sabbath keeping. This may seem difficult at first. It may seem like a bondage that you are not used to. But this is not something that is bondage for those that are in Christ. It is something that is a great joy as we think about the Lord's Day and all the value of the Lord's Day for us. When you are living your life unto the glory of God and living out thankfulness for all that God has done, you will cease from seeing the boundaries as law, and you will see them as privilege. You can think about probably not too many generations ago in Orlando when there were great cattle fields that spread throughout Central Florida. You can think of T.G. Lee down here, and from what I understand, his dairy went all the way to Kissimmee. And within that dairy, there would have been boundaries. There would have been fences around it to show property lines. And you could look at those property lines, and you could say, these are just legal things that keep me from going where I don't belong. But from the perspective of the one that owns the dairy, Mr. Lee, whoever he is, from the perspective of Mr. Lee, those are things that show the boundaries, but not just the legal boundaries. It shows all the privilege from which he is able to do his work and have success as a dairyman. And we need to think about the Sabbath in those ways. When we think about boundaries and we think about things like in our catechism, talking about the negative duties or the things that we are not to neglect, we are not to merely think of them from a legal perspective, even though, of course, they are from a legal perspective. We are to think about them as those boundaries in which we may flourish in our spiritual lives. Friends, even those things that can be negative, like in Isaiah 58, where they're looking at the Sabbath, and even in Isaiah 58, the people of God are lamenting, saying, when is it over? We've got business to get to. When is this day over so that I can go on and do the things that I care about doing? That's one approach to keeping the Sabbath. But God would have us to look at these boundaries as markers that help us to flourish, rather than things that would keep us back. We have a day filled with spiritual things, a day filled with good things from the hand of God. And the Scriptures present these things as blessings and joy. Worship and sitting under the Word of God and fellowship with the people of God and fellowship with Jesus Christ Himself and the ability to do mercy and be the hands of Christ. Why would we want to omit those things? Why would we want to neglect those duties when we have privileges and responsibilities as sons and daughters of the King? And you can think about it that way. If you were a son or a daughter of a high-ranking government official, you may be able to go into the presence of your father and stand before him. And that's not necessarily a duty for you. It's a privilege. And we have that privilege as the people of God. It is our privilege to come before Christ and to have what we would call Sabbath duties, because Jesus has promised to be there in the midst of us as we perform these things. So omission of duties, that's one set of boundaries, one set of fences. But there's other fences, there's other boundaries that are set up, such as, secondly, careless, negligent performance. You see, we can be good Pharisees, and we can say, you know what, Pastor Nathan, I went to church twice this week. I didn't run to Publix between the services. See, I kept the Word of God. And maybe during our time of worship, your mind is somewhere else. And your heart is somewhere else. It's very easy to be careless and unprofitable in our performances. We can have this no thank you attitude connected to the Lord's Day. And I think that that's important. I think that shows part of the wisdom of the Westminster theologians as they work through the doctrine of the Sabbath. Sometimes the accusation is made within our particular version of an understanding of the Sabbath that the Westminster guys were a little too heavy on what we're not supposed to be doing. But part of the reason for that is because the desire is that they would see you flourish in your spiritual life within the context of the English Civil War and within the English church at that time. There was a lot of careless, negligent, unprofitable servants within the church, both in the pews as well as in the pulpits. And the idea was that if we set up good boundaries that are biblical and found within the Word of God, and then within those boundaries, we say, here are all the many good things we ought to do to flourish on this day, that would keep us from carelessness and unprofitability. You see, our hearts and minds as fallen men and women is very performance-oriented by nature. We're not grace-oriented by nature. We're very much oriented towards the list. Give me the checklist, the things I can do. I want God to love me. Give me 10 things to do so God will love me. And we want to check those off. And as we check those things off concerning the doctrine of the Sabbath, we are reminded here that we are to go straight to the heart and say, where are you as you do these duties? Where is your heart as you do these things? See, many of us can sit through a worship service and say that we have performed our duties, but it's not true. The Lord's Day is not passive idleness, but it is active labor unto the glory of God. The larger catechism, in what I think is just this wonderful way of exemplifying Sabbath keeping, it runs right into the heart of so many. It asks this question, what is required of those that hear the Word of God preached? So we could just set up our boundary. Here's a boundary. I went to church. I did what I'm supposed to do. But our Westminster theologians, as they're mining the depth of the Word of God and relying heavily on Isaiah 58 as they think through the Sabbath day, they're saying, where's your heart in this? Where is your heart? And the question is, what is required of those that hear the Word of God preached? And the answer, it's required of those that hear the Word of God preached that they attend upon it with diligence and preparation and prayer, that they examine what they hear by the Scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God, meditate and confer or talk about it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. You see, it's one thing to just say, well, there's the fence. I'm not going to cross the fence. And it's quite another thing to say, here I am in the midst of God's garden, and I'm going to flourish where He has planted me. You see, this is active worship. We're not to be careless or negligent or unprofitable in our Sabbath keeping, but we are to flourish in the midst of it. You know, as you probably know, I have many of my friends are pastors. Many of my friends are in the same line of work, so to speak. And here's a little insider information for you. One of the most difficult questions that pastors have, or one of the things that they're afraid to ask people in their congregation, is what did you get out of the sermon? And the reason why? Because pastors know that often they're going to hear, I wasn't really listening. And many pastors share in this experience of what they don't ask. You know, many don't ask the question. You see, we're to be profitable in our hearing. And that would extend into all of our Sabbath keeping. If you're at a table and you're enjoying fellowship on the Lord's Day, what did you put into the conversation? How did you confer about the things that you have heard? What were ways that the Psalms have ministered to your heart? Even in your time of rest, are you resting and not being idle? Are you using your time to profit as a Christian? Again, these boundaries set up for us that we would flourish within the field where God has planted us. We must be active in our worship and active in our duties. Why are so many people without healthy spiritual lives? For many, it comes down to the fact that the fences, the boundaries of the Sabbath day are broken down, and there's not much that's flourishing within their spiritual lives. So we see another boundary. Thirdly, the boundary of being weary of the Sabbath day. How often do people get weary? I mentioned those in Isaiah 58 that wanted to know when the day was over. Amos 8 speaks of that as well. When is the new moon over? When is the Sabbath over? We've got things to sell. We've got money to make. Friends, this attitude of being weary of the Sabbath, or when we come upon the Sabbath and you say, oh, there's this day that just fills my time with other things, fills my day with stuff that is burdensome for me. J.G. Voss said, this attitude of mind is wrong because it is the product of a selfish, worldly heart that finds no joy or satisfaction in the things of God. When it is our desire to merely see the Sabbath end so that we can get on with our lives, or when we find ourselves weary of the Sabbath day in a very theologically precise way, we show ourselves to be unfit for eternity. We will spend eternity, not just in worship. You're not stuck in pews for eternity, for there will be productivity in many ways. But worship will be a great part of what we do, hearing from Jesus Christ and coming before the Lamb of God. That is worth meditating on and considering, this boundary of weariness. We don't want to go into that. So we've seen three boundaries, and we'll give a fourth to close off our dairy farm well. And the fourth is profaning the Sabbath. There are ways that the Sabbath is violated or profaned, and we should see those boundaries and protect our hearts from those boundaries. We see in our catechism that there are three things that take the focus of the Lord's Day off of Jesus and puts the focus on things like entertainment or occupation or even the committing of sin. And idleness is among the first. That's literally doing nothing. It's going to worship and then participating in nothing else that would bring you joy and profitability in the things of God, not using your time profitably unto the glory of Christ. You must remember that the Sabbath is a grace that is given to you. It's something to embrace joyfully and to walk in, something that is given that we may profit unto our souls. Now, does that mean that you need to take out your calendar for Sunday and have every 15 minutes just cram-packed with spiritual duties, you know, church, and then you're reading this Puritan, and then, you know, quick bite to eat, and then you're back to reading this, and then it's family worship, and then you're taking soup to your neighbors. You don't have to fill your day with all of these things. But we look at the day and we say, how profitably can I flourish in the midst of these things? Your body needs some rest. Take some rest. You find joy in having fellowship with fellow believers. Have fellowship with fellow believers. What it is that we're not to do is we're not to be idle on the Sabbath day. It is not a day of idleness, but a day of rest. Now, it's probably no surprise that to people that there are Disney fans in the congregation. And some of you have been to Disney many, many times. It's not a cheap date to go see the Mouse. But when people go there and when people make their plans to go there, they rise up early, don't they? So that they can get there and make the most of the day. So that they can enjoy the day in the best way possible. Spending the day riding rides and enjoying all of those things that people do at Disney. The one time that Lydia and I went, we went alone without our children because we're terrible parents. And we went and we were in no huge rush to get there. And when we got there, we realized that it's about an hour and a half before you even get in the door. That from parking lot to park entrance takes up a major part of your time. So you think about that and you plan for that. You know, you plan in advance and you get up early and you sneak some snacks into your jacket and you do all of these things in preparation for Disney, not because it's a duty or because it's required, but because it is going to best help you to keep the day. And friends, we should approach the Sabbath day in a similar way. When your friends or when you go to Disney and you ask them, hey, what did you do when you go to Disney? No one says, well, you know, I just sat there or I slept on the bench. It's something that people go and do and they enjoy. The Lord's Day should be an exciting day for you. There should be joyful attendance upon the things of God, joyfully considering all of the great options that the Lord puts before you within these boundaries of His vineyard and saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy as much as I can do and I'm going to get rest for my week ahead. And friends, this is how we ought to think of the Sabbath day. Profitably using the day, doing what we need to do to best use the day. Sinful behavior, needless behavior listed under this. The line in our doctrine says, not doing that which is in itself sinful, and by all needless works and words and thoughts about worldly employment and recreations. You see, what we're doing is we're saying, let's set these boundaries that we may best serve God and that we may best find profitability even for our own souls. Friends, this is something that we can approach from a legal perspective or an evangelical perspective. We can look at the boundaries and the fences of this vineyard that have been set up, and we can see them merely as legal, and they can anger you and embitter you and annoy you as you look at those fences. But they can also be seen from an evangelical perspective. These are boundaries so that you may best flourish in the keeping of this day. You see, the Sabbath day is given to us that we can put all things aside that make up the busyness of life in the 21st century and rest in Jesus Christ. Is that bondage? No. When God says this, He does not want us doing certain things, or when He sets up these boundaries, He does it so that you may flourish. Friends, be zealous for that. Protect those things. Come to understand those things so that your Christian life may flourish in Jesus Christ. For this is true Sabbath keeping. Amen. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your word and the beauty of the Sabbath day. Lord, help us by Your grace, by the grace of Jesus Christ, to do these things and to have these boundaries that we may best glorify You. Amen. Let's stand and